reading of the Word of God today, coming from the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Beginning at verse 21. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 21. And it begins by saying, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land as the wind had blown. And then the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians," the Bible says, "pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And verse 25, we'll conclude, and took off their chariot wheels, while that they drave them heavily." I mean, they was coming hard after them, that they began to sink. "So that the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel.'" In other words, man, let us get up out of here. "For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And I want to use this as a subject, if I may, just make room for your miracle. Amen. Amen. "For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." It is so good that we can be here on this morning to worship together, collectively, in spirit and in truth. Our God who is Jehovah. Amen. To him, we do give honor to God, to Jesus Christ, his Son, the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter, to Reverend Johnson and Reverend Moore in his absence, to our officers, to our mothers on this morning, to our ushers. Thank you as you help to navigate us through the worship. And also to our music ministry, thank you for blessing our hearts in song, rather. Amen. 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 And to all of our Father's children that is present on this morning, whether you be a member, visitor, or friend, let me say again, it is good for us to be here and that we can share this moment in the Word of God together. Amen. 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 I don't feel the best this morning, so ignore that. Amen. But for some particular reason, I don't know what's been going on, but pray for me. Amen. The Word of God must be preached and go forward. There is an argument I see, that still stands to be true in this 21st century, is that people are still saying that miracles are not genuine. That there are many that still debate the fact that miracles really happen. Because many of them are still calling it luck. or they refer to miracles or to the miraculous, to one that may have experienced that as lucky. Amen. And I don't know about you this morning, but I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles because I'm a miracle myself. Amen. And I don't say that on behalf because I've experienced some sickness, physical sickness, but I say that because I've experienced a spiritual sickness. Amen. You'll catch that on your way home. I was born in sin. Yeah, drifting far from the peace for sure. And as the hymn writer said about me, he said, I was very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But I was at a revival meeting one night. Amen. Yeah, and he heard my despairing cry. And from the waters of sin, he lifted me. Now safe am I. I believe in miracles. I believe them because if God can save a wretch like me, he can save anybody. So my question is, how about you today? Do you believe in miracles? I pity the person who has become enslaved by the scientific method. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me, my brothers and sisters. There is nothing wrong with an appreciation of scientific investigation. I'm not against that because if God did not want that, he wouldn't have gave man the mind to be able to do these types of investigations. But science and the Bible do go together. Amen. But in this life, You will have some unexplainable events of which you and I just cannot explain. Amen. There will be some events that happen in yours and my life that you and I cannot calculate, neither tabulate. And the only way that you can explain it is in this way, is a miracle. Yeah. If I may, someone here, the doctor may have given you 12 months to live. And when you think about it, that was 20 years ago. How do you explain it? If you don't mind helping you explain it, it's a miracle. Someone here was in a car wreck that was totaled. And the car was in total turmoil and chaos. You really should have died. But you came out with only a scratch. But you made it. Can I explain that to you? It wasn't lady luck, baby. It was a miracle. Somebody here looking at me right now have faced some hardships. You were broke, so broke you couldn't pay attention, but your bills got paid, your car note got paid, your house note got paid, you still got food on your table, your clothes on your back, and roof over your head. It wasn't luck, baby. Can I explain it to you? It's called a miracle. You've been there, you've done that, you even got the t-shirt and the hat. But look at you now. You in church, you're loving the Lord, you're saved, you're satisfied, and you're sanctified. How do you explain that, Myron Holmes? Can I help you out? It's called a miracle. Anytime you face improbable, impregnable, and impossible odds, and God makes a way for you out of no way, baby, don't try to examine it, get excited about it. Don't try to resolve it, but receive it. Because guess what? Can I explain it to you? It's called a miracle. Let me remind you and I this morning with this warranted word from this treasure text. It's before you hang your head down, before you throw in the towel, before you may even think about slitting your wrist and taking another hit, just hear God's word through God's man this morning. Just make room for your miracle. In fact, before you give up and give out and give in, give it over to Jesus. And guess what? The text is going to help you see that all you got to do is make room for your miracle, and God will work these things out. When we look at this text, God in verse 1, he got on to Moses. God got on him. And at verse verse 21, we saw God begin to guide the children of Israel through Moses. Watch this. 20 verses of living through 20 verses of danger, 20 verses of doubt, 20 verses of confusion, Reverend, and 20 verses of trouble does not change the fact what God did in verse 1. Verse 1, he said, and the Lord spake unto Moses. It didn't change what God did in verse 1. So don't be so quick to disavow what God did, and don't get selective memory. Don't get amnesia when you get in your adversity, because guess what? God will get on you just like he got on him, and he'll guide you just like he guided them. Whether you and I like it or not, God got somebody who will lead you to your miracle. I know I'm right about it. To a child this morning, it may be your parent. To an athlete this morning, it may be your coach. To the church, it may be your pastor. To a city that's in turmoil, guess what? It just may be your mayor. But what I found out is that through all of that, God will be accentuated. The communities will be elevated. The people who love God will be liberated. Our witness will be authenticated. Our identity will be calibrated. Our fields will be abbreviated. And every one of your enemies will be humiliated, because you have to trust God first. And then he releases his power. God ain't releasing nothing until you trust him first. Because I found this out, my brothers and sisters, that nothing memorable is happening standing on the riverbanks. That went over your head again. I hope y'all, do we have some Bible readers in here? As long as you're standing on the riverbank, well, ain't nothing gonna happen, baby. While you standing back complaining and you don't, it's okay to pray. You know, I'm like the William brother said, pray on, my child. But baby, ain't nothing gonna happen as long as you keep on praying. And look, there's no miracles while you standing there, no memories and no openings are produced while you standing at the riverbank. Don't look, what you got to do, you got to activate your faith. You got to get your faith right so the miracle can happen right before your eyes. Anybody here got faith besides me this morning? What faith does, faith says try. Doubt says die. Faith says keep it up. Doubt says let it go. Faith says stand up, but doubt says sit down. Faith says step forward. Doubt says go backwards. Faith says give your life to Jesus. Doubt says I'm fine just the way that I am. Faith says I will. Doubt says no you won't. Faith says I'm a conqueror. Doubt says you're a failure. Faith says rise up, and doubt says fall. So what are you driving at, Myron? See, doubt accomplishes nothing while faith accomplishes everything. Israel would have never walked into her miracle had she not began to go into the midst of the sea. Faith is believing that it will happen before it happens until it happens. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So which one is going to dominate your posture and contour your character? Will it be faith or will it be doubt? And like the children of Israel, we all face some water problems that's too big for us to handle, that's too deep for us to cross, that's too large for us to wade in, and too complicated for us to enter into. But be encouraged this morning, because God, in the text I found out, he helped me discover that he can handle water problems. There's nothing too small or too big for God. Because whatever those problems of water might be, whether it may be drowning in debt, if you're sinking in sin, if you're floating in failure, if you're dipping in doubt, if you're plunging in a pity party, if you're flooding in fear, if you're tumbling in tears, leaking in loneliness, dripping in depression, surfing in sorrow, I stopped by this morning to tell you that God can handle all of those water problems. But what you have to do is to have the courage of the Hebrew children. And that is at verse 22. That's when I get excited. At verse 22, the text helped me to see that they took a step. Again, baby, there's no miracles happening when you're standing on the riverbank. You have to be like the children of Israel. At verse 22, at some point, you got to take a step. You got to go in the midst of what God told you to go in the midst of. The miracle will never manifest itself until you walk out on faith. So when you decide to take that step, you are about to find out where God provided, what God provided, when he provided, and why God provided. And so this one thing, this thing, brother, I saw in the text, this thing I saw is big. Because at verse 21, all night, the text says, the Lord drove back the sea. All night. And what really tripped me out when I look at God, the way he do things, God did this all night and never got tired. And that makes me think about us as a people of God. You know, we do one little thing for God and we tired. We don't come back next week. You don't see us for another 6-7 more months. We cheer our favorite program and we pray and tear the church down. We sing the solo until we shout everybody. But God never gets tired. Isn't it amazing how we always get tired when we do one assignment? This was a display of God's omnipotence, his almighty power. How many people, brother, that you can think of that can cause a cloud to be a light to those on one side, and on the other side of that cloud is dark to the others? Do anybody know anybody like that? I mean, I know you know some great scientists, but do anybody know anybody like that? Baby, it's a miracle. God took a cloud and used it for protection between his people and their enemies. Do y'all see that in that text? He took a cloud and God flipped the script. He flipped it just to hold them off long enough so that they can get across into their miracle. The side of the cloud that faced the Egyptians was pitch black, like a thick fog that was so heavy that they could barely see but a few feet in front of them. We know what that's like, don't we? So thick that God had blocked out the light from the moon and the stars. I can imagine the Egyptian army and their chariots was just stalled in their tracks, not knowing what they might encounter on up the road. I can imagine they just paused and was at a standstill. Because on the other side of the darkness, God was working out a miracle for Israel. Israel was going on across the Red Sea while their enemies were being stalled. And that's why when we're going through life trials and facing challenges that's out of yours and my control, don't ask God for something small. You need to learn how to ask him for something big. That's our problem. We're still going to God and asking him for small stuff to work out little stuff. Guess what? We need to learn. We need to step your game up, baby. You know, and start asking God for something big. Ask God to steal your storm. Ask him to steal your burden. Ask him to dry your tears. Ask him to solve your problem. Ask him to change your life. Child of God, the way you view yourself is too small. The way you view your ministry is too minuscule. The way you view your possibilities are puny. The way you view the depth of your faith is microscopic. Mark it down. Again, nothing great happens absent of struggle. Watch this. For 20 verses, it's been number struggle. Do y'all see that? For 20 verses, it's been nothing but struggle until they get to verse 21. But I found out there's no victory without agony. And baby, where there's no cross, there will surely be no crown. Let me say this. Every blessing has a battle. But you can win the battle over doubt, over anxiety, over worry, over confusion, over your haters, over misery, suffering, over church folk, whether they're mean, whether they're set in their ways, unchanging, low down, messy, cliquish, and even got their own agenda. Baby, all you got to do is take the step. When you gonna take the step? It was a blessing, but it was a battle.
Yeah, I know it was, because guess what? Joseph in Pharaoh's prison. Oh, baby, it was a blessing, but it was a battle. David facing Goliath. It was a blessing, but it was a battle. Daniel in the lion's den. Guess what? It was a blessing, baby, but it was a battle. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin court. It was a blessing, but it was a battle. Jesus on the cross. I sure enough know that was a blessing, because guess what? He saved me. It was a battle. And you right now, in the midst of your trials, trouble and tribulation and tragedy, guess what? It's a blessing, baby, but it's going to be a battle. Somebody ought to come on here and talk back to me if you can. Because sometimes you have to go through detours, delays, and disappointments and discouragement. But I stop by to tell you, take that step so your miracle can happen. If you don't take the step, the miracle won't happen. Verse 22 has some strange, it's some insane, brother, instruction and ridiculous remarks. Verse 22, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on the right hand and a wall of water on the left hand. Now, can you imagine if that was some of us? Instead of us going on cross and doing what God say do, you looking, you all up, you ain't went across yet, and your enemy's behind you. You know, you act, you know, anybody in here country, you know, country folks, you go to the city, and everybody know you country, because you know what you're doing this whole while. You're looking at the skyscrapers and the skyline. Biggest building you got at home is the federal building downtown. And folk passing by, I know they ain't from here. Then you end up getting robbed because you're a dead giveaway. Amen. Yeah, I know I'm talking to somebody. Yeah, yeah. But if you're going to make room for your miracle, let me say this. I got four things I want to say, and then I'm done. I'm out of here. Four things have to exist. First of all, you got to be spiritually ready. What is it? You got to be different. See, your farm is like, it's like no, it, I mean, it's just glaringly different. It's like no other, like none of your other fingers. You can do things with your farm that you can't do with these four fingers. Look, it's amazing what you can't do without this thumb. You got to learn how to be different. God knows, watch this, God knows who is spiritually ready, and he knows those who's not. Those who were spiritually ready, watch this, made it through the Red Sea. But baby, if you're not spiritually ready, guess what? You're going to drown. And we got folk in the body of Christ like that. We play acting like we ready, but we ain't really ready. Because see, we still drowning in traditions and everything else that's going on around us. God knows those of us here at NJMBC that's spiritually ready, and he knows the ones who's not. He knows those of us who dares to be different and not afraid to make room for him that he might work out the miracle. And he knows those of us who's careful to defy their Baptist traditions. Can I let you know in on something? You gonna drown. Secondly, if it's gonna be effective, you got to battle your own biases. Stop looking for everybody else to agree with how you believe. Some of us in here, we think when we say something, we think everybody got to agree with us. I got my opinion just like you got yours. You ain't the only scholar in here. Man, most times we pretend to be scholars. But we really not, because guess what? We got a lot of head knowledge, but no heart knowledge. Talk back to me if you can now. See, you better make sure what God said to you is straight. You didn't hear it crooked. Amen. You didn't learn how to walk on dry ground. Yeah, but what do you say? See, don't touch the water. Don't swim in the water. That wasn't the instructions. He said, walk across on dry ground. Don't swim in the water. Don't touch the water. Don't wade in the water. Don't play with the dolphins. And don't take no selfies with the sharks while you're on your way. The command was simple. He said, walk through on dry ground. Thirdly, expect trouble along the way. There's never been a situation in our life that we've encountered that there's no trouble came. Your enemy will still try to get in your miracle and mess up your miracle. The text says in verse 23, the Egyptians pursued them. And all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. But this tripped me out because the word pursue in Hebrew is radaf. And it means to chase, to be behind. It means to follow after, to attend closely upon something. But on the other hand, it also means to harass. It means to persecute, to dog, or to put to flight. And whether you agree with me or not, there are always somebody trying to cause trouble for you in some way or fashion. Even if it's in ministry. Do y'all hear me? Even if it's in ministry. You got folk that just sit around and all they do is plan on how to harass, afflict, and vex whatever it is God is trying to do in yours and my life. Even if it's in ministry. And because they can't handle it, because they can't stand it, guess what? They get annoyed by it. Because they can't stand it, they'll get aggravated and agitated by it and pursue it just to prevent it. That is your miracle. But according to the text, that's a dangerous thing to do for you. Yeah, because guess what? You just might drown. God will get me through on the other side, baby, while you're trying to dig a ditch for me. That same ditch you dug and been drugged for you. The Egyptians were displeased at what God had done for the Israelites, which caused them to chase after them. Watch this. Listen at this. And I'm almost done. There was a story told of this woman. Every morning at 6 a.m., this grandmother, you may have heard her before, she would get up and would go outside and lift her hands up and say, oh, Lord, I thank you for blessing another day. And she would do this every morning. So this disturbed her non-believing neighbor who began thinking of a way to prove her wrong about her God. Yet every morning at 6 a.m., she'd go outside, lift up her hands, and say, oh, Lord, thank you for blessing another day. This neighbor then bought some binoculars and noticed the woman was out of groceries. You see how your haters do? You see how folk that don't do nothing sit around and harass? How they pursue you? He looking and seeing she was out of groceries. So he decided to go to the store and buy her some groceries to prove to her, but Mervin, that God didn't provide these groceries. He went to the grocery store, and not only that, he kept the receipt. So then 6 a.m. in the morning came again. Uh-oh, the dear old grandmother came out. She said, oh, Lord, I thank you for blessing another day. She looked around and saw all of those groceries on her porch and began to gather them up. She scooped them up and gathered up all the bags, and he jumps out the bush, with the receipt in his hand. God didn't get these. I got them. Little old mother said, begin to praise God all the more. She said, Lord, I thank you for blessing me another day and showing me that you can even make the devil buy me some groceries. Expect trouble along the way. God, I'll take them same Negroes that's harassing you and I'll make them bless you and be in the midst of your miracle and they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. Expect trouble along the way, baby, but keep on praising God. Because all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. What was meant for evil, God worked it out for your good. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Anybody here like to play checkers? I'm a checker player. I'm pretty good at it. You know, checkers and spades, that's my game. But I found out something about checkers is that when you're losing, the one place you want to get to is at the end of your opponent's side. Because if you can get to the end of the opponent's board, guess what? You can crown your king. And the king become your lifesaver and your lifeline. That the king gives you hope because you can move anywhere on the board with your king. When you crown your king, guess what? You gain and you get an attitude when moving with your king. And when you don't have any more checkers, and you done crowned your king, guess what? You're not worried whether you can move or not. Why? Because your king can do what no other checker can do. Well, what are you saying, Myron Holmes? All I'm saying that is for me and for you, all you got to do is stay in the game. Because guess what? All you got to do is depend on your king. Don't worry about those that's trying to block your miracle. You just depend on the king. You have to put the king in your corner. Because I found out that you can't kill a king that's in your corner, baby. As long as the king stayed in your corner, you can stay in the game. Anybody gonna keep the king in your corner? If you ain't scared of your neighbor, won't you hunt your neighbor? Stay in the game and keep the king in your corner. I'm done right here. Fourthly, you got to keep on stepping. God made this miracle so easy for Israel. He made it easy for them. And I told you what God told them, right? When it was dry ground, told them to take a step. But you must remember that for 40 years, they have been residents or slaves in a desert. They didn't know how to swim. And here God go leading them across the Red Sea. And they wasn't about to fool with no water anyway. They sound like black folk. And they could relate to two things. Walking and dry ground. Amen. Because we ain't always had stuff either. We familiar with walking and dry ground. So what he said, the issue wasn't the miracle. The issue is to prepare yourself for the miracle. The issue, it was not rule number 8. The issue was making sure you did rules 1 through 7 before you get to 8, baby. So then, as I quit, you got to know how to look and press ahead and not look back at the enemy, or you'll miss your miracle. You'll miss your miracle if you keep on looking back and forth. It's God's presence and control that delivered Israel and not their smarts. It's not. And I know many of us think because we're so smart that it's us delivering ourselves. It was because they trusted him and not in their ability. Because at this point, Israel didn't even know how to fight because she was a new nation. She was just being born. She was just being birthed. But God, yeah, they had a commanding chief who just got through fighting for them. Yeah, God was able to fight every battle because in verse 25, I know he beat them up for them because Egyptians said, man, let us get up out of here, for the Lord is fighting for them folk against us. You got to keep stepping. God showed up. I'm done here. The water stood up and the ground dried up. God allowed them to step into the miracle. He worked it out for them. And my friend, I just want to let you know today that if you would just take the step and just let God show up, if you let God show up, whatever is in front of you that's blocking your path, that got you afraid, that have caused fear and keeping you from pursuing forward, guess what? God will stand the waters up. He'll make a pathway that you can walk right through, and you'll walk through on dry ground. God will do that for you. If you're here this morning and you have not experienced the miracle of being delivered from sin, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today.